everything that you do to preserve your Constitution is going to have to come first from the sovereign citizen through the sovereign state, because it was set up through the Constitution that that federal government would protect the rights. And your Supreme Court was not set up to make law, but to interpret the law to protect you under the Constitution. And that's what's gone wrong, and people haven't realized it. You have to study your Constitution. You have to know what has happened to you and how this beast has gotten its tentacles around everybody's neck.
Yes, it must start. Some of the material that's appeared in the Phoenix Liberator that I wanted to remind our listeners of is a favorable reference to Judge Bork's book having to do with political seduction of the law. He is focusing directly on this phenomenon of having constructed in the Constitution a very clear limitation of the federal judiciary not to any lawmaking or policymaking function. They are supposed to decide cases, not questions. And there's been a whole litany of progressive steps that have been taken to seduce the law and lawyers and legislatures into thinking that the judiciary is supposed to somehow be a third legislative chamber that is superior to everything else. And if we understand the correct history of our Constitution, we will find that this is not the case. It's a misstatement of the law. But until we get back to our correct constitutional principles, we may be spinning our wheels a lot if we expect the courts, for example, particularly the federal courts, to protect us when the federal judiciary is usurping functions just like the federal administration is usurping functions.
Absolutely.
And we can't expect to go into court and litigate and ask one bunch of usurpers to stop another bunch of usurpers from usurping.
That's right.
And what we will profit most from is if we get the state sovereignty to use its legislative or policymaking powers to correct constitutional infractions. Once we start using the immense legislative powers of the state to enforce constitutional limitations, it's likely that we will completely change the complexion of the power contest that's going on right now in the United States between those who want to dismantle our Constitution and those who want to restore it. And restoration is, I think, the proper word, because we have good text in the Constitution, but we do not have very good practice in our governmental agencies when it comes to going by that Constitution. So the Constitutional Law Center is good news, and if we can do things that will help to not just further the litigation, which may be off on the wrong foot by again seeking to litigate matters that might be more effectively legislated, if we can get the Constitutional Law Center to approach the question from the standpoint of this ending up being a violation of state sovereign powers. We don't mind recognizing lawful treaties that affect our state powers, but what we do mind is unlawful federal bureaucratic usurpation that destroys not only the Dan sisters' rights, but our rights as well. And if we can get back to recognizing that we have a community of interest with keeping legitimate commitments. If we can't keep the Constitution, we're not going to have very good luck trying to keep treaties.
No.
And we ought to try to keep both, even if it's just for the novelty of it. I think we'll find that it works much better, too, when we give our word, whether in the Constitution or in a treaty, to go by it, and not to use the first opportunity that comes along to walk away from it.
This is a very good point. You see, I said, and this is just a reminder, that a treaty supersedes everything. And yet look what you're doing. You're making treaties with United Nations. You're making treaties with Russia. You're making treaties with China.
Right.
And yet you are breaking the very treaties with your own native Aboriginal people.
Yes. And there is one qualification on the Treaty of Supremacy Clause, and that goes along with the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution, and that is that they must be treaties that are made in conformity with the Constitution. Otherwise, we have a situation where the treaty-making power is, as we call it, ultra vires, or beyond the powers. If the treaty-making power is being used to abrogate or assault the constitutional limitations of this, is in excess of the authority that was granted by the states to the President and the Senate, giving them powers to enter into treaties. And this is another area where we might want to take a look at the Dan Sisters question, because being based on a treaty, we might be able to find how we in Nevada could help them and help ourselves by having that treaty enforced and getting rid of a lot of the unconstitutional federal control of our public lands.
Absolutely. And that's the way it has to be. People have to, first of all, they have to see what's happening. You cannot fix a problem if you don't realize what the problem is.
Exactly.
And everybody can see you've got a massive, massive international problem. You must, no matter how doom and gloom it sounds, you must confront the problem.
Yes.
And then the solutions will flow. And now to go ahead and be the Chamber of Commerce for the state of Nevada, you are the only state structured where you can do it. You can set the example for the rest of the states. The other states, like California, have fallen to ones like Cranston, who have sold out the people, the business, everything about the nation. These ones have literally corrupted and sold out your nation, sold it away, given it away. But Nevada has hung on to some of these things that other ones say, oh, well, that's Sin City, you know, you go to Nevada. And yet you have managed to hang on to your corporate structure, to shelter your corporations as sovereign citizens of the state of Nevada. And it's hard. It's impossible, really. If you go to battle in the state of Nevada, it is impossible for anyone, including the federal government, to pierce the veil of your corporations. But ones have to remember to do their work and do it right. Do it critically, time-wise. Fill out your paperwork. Open your eyes and go to bat and demand that you have the kind of legislature in your state that pulls the kind of power that you're talking about when you get to that federal government. And it is no accident that Bo Grites is a citizen of the state of Nevada.
Great. And we're happy to have him. And we're coming up to our second commercial break. So we'll come back to our call-in lines, 882-5785, that's 882-KPTL, after this commercial break.
Hey, Dave. Dave?
Oh, hello, yeah.
Scott Tipps heads up the Constitutional Center in over in Sacramento.
Scott Tipps?
Tipps, you know him. He was working with...
I think so.
Yeah, he works with Rapsimonica's for
right,
a bit.
Scott Tipps. Very good. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, I need to talk to Scott about the problems we're still having with Evans.
Do you have the Constitutional Law Center phone number? He could have it in the break here.
Yes, Dave, do you wish the number?
Yes. That's different from America West?
Yes.
It's 916.
916.
487. Correction.
37. 637?
No. Let's do it again.
Okay.
916. 485.
485.
Yeah.
7902. 7902. Okay. I have 916. 485. 7902 for the Constitutional Law Center.
Yes, and you would ask for Gene Dixon.
Gene Dixon?
Yes.
As the astrologer, huh?
Actually, yes.
Same name.
Same name, wrong profession.
Okay.
Gene Dixon and Scott Tipps head the law center.
7901 also is a good number.
Which one? 07901 or 7902?
Right.
Okay. This is Dave Horton with KPTL Talk Radio, AM 1300 in Carson City, Nevada. The numbers for the Constitutional Law Center in Sacramento are area code 916-485-7902 or 485-7901. You can ask for Scott Tibbs or Gene Dixon. That's the same name as the astrologer column. We'll go to the lines now. Hi, you're on the air.
I'd like to know what has happened to Commander Up.
Okay. The question, did you catch that?
No, I'm sorry. It'll have to be repeated. I didn't.
Okay. The question was, what is Commander Hatton the commander of? And we should explain that we are communicating through an interpreter, Dharma, and therefore we have a female voice that is representing what the commander is saying. Go ahead.
Well, Dharma is only a translator, just repeating what I'm saying. I am commander of the operation, if you will. I represent what you would on your planet call the hosts. Come in preparation for the second coming. I don't understand your language or why you call it that, but the return again of the higher energy forms to your planet. I command the fleet out of Pleiades. We don't have a hierarchical structure as you do. Commander simply is a label given to me by your Earth people because I am in charge of the operation. We don't have those kinds of labels except for identification.
And do you have a particular base that you are operating from?
Well, yes, we operate radio-wise and navigation-wise from a small place in California at this time. There are many, many other places. This one is of particular importance because there is a very large central crystal formation that is utilized for communication system and navigation purposes for this sector within your universal order or cosmic section. It is being more and more activated because of the coming crises upon your place. There comes a point at which you could literally disintegrate your planet, which affects all things in the universal order all the way out to the edges of all universe, which is simply a spiral, so it would literally come back to get you. But our purpose is to prevent that happening. We are not allowed, nor do we wish to intervene or interfere in anything that is going on your planet. You are a free will gifted, free will planet where all entities are sovereign. In other words, if you were just going to destroy your planet and go roll over and die, that would be fine and we would not touch you, but that's not what you do. You have created technological methods whereby you can literally pulverize the planet, at which point you would have to be encapsulated some way. Well, you have been promised that this will not happen to your species. And those who would come back within the laws of creation would be lifted off. A lot of you are calling this rapture. I would really check that out before I trusted that one too far, because you're basing your rapture on the wrong bits of information. But we're also here to get you off if that becomes a necessity. We remain totally uninvolved, except in very rare occasions. But you see, and you would have to go back through the Liberator to find it, because I don't have that information on the tip of my tongue.
Okay.
Where I have outlaid the major underground facilities that your government has built. There is a 40-level installation less than 5 miles from this place where I'm speaking now, created by your government. It is attached to Edwards Air Force Base. They launch craft flying discs out of there. They launch wars against command, and the Russians, you see, do have supremacy in space. They have cosmic platforms and things they call cosmospheres. And there is nothing that you have that can stand up to those at this time, even though your pulse systems are getting very sophisticated.
So those listeners who may want to get more written material on this subject can stop by Nevada Business Services at 675 Fairview, number 207, where Marianne Dickens has many of the Phoenix journals. I think there are about 56 of them or so now, and also back issues of the Phoenix Liberators. Our call-in numbers are 825-785, that's 882-KPTL, and our guest is Commander Hatton, who has been filling us in on some of the measures that might be used to help protect us from economic moves that are being made at this particular point that we can see some of the signs of. We've noticed that general contraction of the currency, even though interest rates are falling, is causing our economy to continue to slide. Our unemployment rates are higher, much higher than they should be, and being vastly underreported, because the mechanism that we use to report the unemployment omits a lot of the unemployed and completely overlooks the underemployed. So we have an immense amount of productive capability that is being wasted right now merely because we do not have sufficient purchasing power in our economy so that the jobs that need to be done can be done. And businesses right here in Carson City are being adversely affected by constriction of credit. Letters of credit that have been outstanding for 15 years are being drawn in with no economic basis for doing it, except that the bank that has issued them is now in trouble in real estate in Arizona or California. So we need to give some attention to what we can do to insulate our economy from a lot of the convulsions that are being produced by these efforts to constrict currency. And some of this traces back to some of the problems with the Committee of 300. So we'll go to the air. Hi, you're on the air.
I missed the very beginning of your broadcast. I'm wondering, when do you expect the Earth to pass, or the solar system to pass through this belt?
The photon belt?
Right.
Commander, did you catch that?
Yes, he's asked, when is this expected?
Yes.
The last more scientific conclusions coming out of where they have done the most studies in Australia, they have nailed it down right to the 25th of July of this year.
Oh.
Now, I cannot concur or I cannot make a comment about it one way or another. This is a very reasonable, natural happening, and except that it affects a lot of you, I'm not going to make a projection. The minute that I say, well, you can expect that earthquake, you know, on the third week of May, it isn't going to happen that way. But that's what your scientists are saying, that you will move into that belt beginning on the 25th of July.
Thank you very much.
And I can only add this. If you're prepared, you're prepared.
Yes.
No matter. And if it doesn't happen, you're still prepared for the earthquake, for whatever is going to happen.
Right.
So don't stay unprepared.
Dave, this is George.
Go ahead, George.
Tell
up a little bit. Your signal's a little weak.
Okay. What I'm your listeners can go down to Mary Ann's and get the current issue of the Liberator, which goes into great detail on the photon belt.
What is the date on that issue?
I believe it's May 5th.
Okay. The May 5th issue of the Phoenix Liberator will have considerable detail on the photon belt, which the commander has mentioned is predicted by earthly sources to commence about the 25th of July and might provide quite a splash of effect that we need to be aware of. However, if it doesn't happen, and we are prepared for something that doesn't happen, we've only lost, we haven't even lost the preparation, because much of the preparation is what we ought to be doing anyhow. We should have supplies of water on hand. We should have supplies of food on hand, because there are a lot of other things that can happen to us also that aren't good. And it's a lot better to be prepared and not need it than to need it and not be prepared. So we're coming up to the top of the hour in about 5 minutes, and we have time for a couple more calls with Commander Hedlund at 882-5785. That's 882-KPTL. And one of the things I wanted to inquire about, if you have any information on it, I was inspecting before the program this morning. I was looking at my collection on monetary history dealing with the Incas. And one of our monetary historians, Alexander Del Mar, has done a quite detailed study of this. And I don't think he finds much evidence of the use of money in the Incan civilization. Do you happen to have any information on that, Commander?
Only in that the way that has been structured to pull down and into enslavement, your world, came with use of money and currency. So most of your, what you would consider primitive, but more enlightened societies did not utilize it.
Yes, it's been observed that in North America, the absence of a currency prevented division of labor from providing anything more complicated than some of the leagues of North American tribes in the North American continent, where the population was largely fanatic or nomadic. And this means that the what we consider to be more advanced, that is to say more specialized, forms of social exchange did not develop. But I was thinking that possibly there was a hierarchical type structure in the Incan civilization that was supported a division of labor even without the use of a money.
Well, yes, and always through the generations and centuries of time, you would have things like tally sticks, markers, various and sundry things that represent services.
Right, and this is a form of local currency, and we have a lot of examples of that, although they're not very well understood. We have many examples of that in the United States, where local currencies have been used responsibly, where the entity issuing the currency had the goods to redeem them, and as long as it was in a suitable form to carry around in your pocket, it started then serving as a local currency, which is another one of the things that we're looking at with regard to the Nevada silver coin bill. It has been suggested that we might also want to go to a $1 token made out of base metal that would be used in our Nevada casinos, which would be a source of non-tax government revenue and also would pass as a local currency, even though it might not have to be made a legal tender. So we've got a couple more minutes with our guest, Commander Hafen, and we've been discussing the measures to be taken so far as a possible passage through the photon belt that may be coming, let's say, on the 25th of July or at some other time, and the possession of shielding mechanism for the eyes in the form of the darkest arc welding equipment would be very helpful, and also also to stay indoors and to block out intense levels of light that may be associated with this would be another precaution that we could use, which is similar to the techniques that we would be employing in protecting ourselves against some biological hazards, such as anthrax, spores that could be disseminated through our atmosphere and are highly deadly. So we're coming up to the top of the hour. We've got about 30 seconds, and I want to express appreciation to Commander Hatton for taking the time to share some thoughts with us. And it's my hope that, particularly after George gets settled here in Carson City, that we may be able to carry these things further. And for those who want to get more information in written form, they can call 1-800-729-4131. And the material that you may not be able to find with Marianne Dickens will be available through the mail. But if you go down to Marianne's and she has it, you've got it right there. So our guest next week will be a missionary who has been in service in South Africa, and we will be bringing up some of the undisclosed and almost secreted measures that have been kept from the American public with regard to that area of the world. And Okay, I was misreading the clock. We came up to the top of the hour. My clock here is 1 minute off, and I didn't know whether it was 1 minute or something other than that. But we got into the ABC News okay. So thanks very much for taking your time, and thanks also to you, George, and to Dharma. And well, I hope we can get some information disseminated here that'll be helpful, and maybe we can get some moves going that will give some encouragement to other states. If we can unscramble a situation here in Nevada, we may be able to solve a lot of people's problems.
Well, I would compliment you. I would also say, Dave, that Nevada is destined to be the state that can do it. You have maintained your sovereignty better than any other state in the United States.
Well, thank you, Andrew. I was joking with one of our legislative guests a couple of weeks ago about Nevada being the center of the universe, and paraphrasing the ancient Latin phrase, all roads lead not to Rome but to Carson City.
Something like that.
It may be more than just a joke. It may be an actuality. If we can protect the Constitution and get it coming back, it may be that we have stumbled onto something that is highly useful here, and something that will be very important and valuable to us in the future.
Well, you have to look at the small part. Sometimes you have to know the whole, but you have to start where you can. And that's
right.
Very small with that first step.
The Confucian adage that says you have to work where you are. And also a quotation, I think, that comes out of the Bible that says the eyes of the fool are in the ends of the earth. If we don't work where we are, we can't really be too effectual. But if we work where we are, it seems like a lot of the tactical advantages turn in our favor, and that's another reason why I'm glad to see Bo Greitz here in Nevada, because I think he understands some of these principles, and if by some fluke he should happen to be our president, Nevada would be able to be of great assistance to him or anyone else in that position to do what a president alone, even if he wanted to, would be hard-pressed to do without help from a state legislative support. So thanks again for giving your time, and I hope that George will share my numbers. If there's occasion to get in touch, why, I'm reachable most of the time through 883-1966 or 883-6348. So, George, it's been fun.
Thank you, buddy.
Well, you're doing a real service to your fellow man. It's the only way that you're going to salvage this country. And if this country goes, so goes the world.
Exactly. And if they get it from us, they're going to have to pry it from our grasp, kicking and screaming.
I want to make one last comment, then I'm going to get out of here, out of your hair. But you are having someone from South Africa.
Yes.
South Africa is the most important country on your globe to watch at this time, because South Africa has gone the way that America will go. It is lost. And the point is that the 300, the world globalists, plan to manipulate South Africa, get rid of the black population, because you see, before everything that you do to preserve your constitution is going to have to come first from the sovereign citizen through the sovereign state, because it was set up through the constitution that federal government would protect the rights. And your Supreme Court was not set up to make law, but to interpret the law to protect you under the constitution. And that's what's gone wrong, and people haven't realized it. You have to study your constitution. You have to know what has happened to you and how this beast has gotten its tentacles around everybody's neck.
Yes,
it must start.
One of the things in some of the material that's appeared in the Phoenix Liberator that I wanted to remind our listeners of is a favorable reference to Judge Bork's book having to do with political seduction of the law. He is focusing directly on this phenomenon of having constructed in the Constitution a very clear limitation of the federal judiciary not to any lawmaking or policymaking function. They are supposed to decide cases, not questions. And there's been a whole litany of progressive steps that have been taken to seduce the law and lawyers and legislatures into thinking that the judiciary is supposed to somehow be a third legislative chamber that is superior to everything else. And if we understand the correct history of our Constitution, we will find that this is not the case. It's a misstatement of the law. But until we get back to our correct constitutional principles, we may be spinning our wheels a lot if we expect the courts, for example, particularly the federal courts, to protect us when the federal judiciary is usurping functions just like the federal administration is usurping functions.
Absolutely.
And we can't expect to go into court and litigate and ask one bunch of usurpers to stop another bunch of usurpers from usurping.
That's right.
And what we will profit most from is if we get the state sovereignty to use its legislative or policymaking powers to correct constitutional infractions. Once we start using the immense legislative powers of the state to enforce constitutional limitations, it's likely that we will completely change the complexion of the power contest that's going on right now in the United States between those who want to dismantle our Constitution and those who want to restore it. And restoration is, I think, the proper word, because we have good text in the Constitution, but we do not have very good practice in our governmental agencies when it comes to going by that Constitution. So the Constitutional Law Center is good news, and if we can do things that will help to not just further the litigation, which may be off on the wrong foot by again seeking to litigate matters that might be more effectively legislated, if we can get the Constitutional Law Center to approach the question from the standpoint of this ending up being a violation of state sovereign powers, we don't mind recognizing lawful treaties that affect our state powers, but what we do mind is unlawful federal bureaucratic usurpation that destroys not only the Dan sisters' rights, but our rights as well. And if we can get back to recognizing that we have a community of interest with keeping legitimate commitments. If we can't keep the Constitution, we're not going to have very good luck trying to keep treaties.
No.
And we ought to try to keep both, even if it's just for the novelty of it. I think we'll find that it works much better, too, when we give our word, whether in the Constitution or in a treaty, to go by it, and not to use the first opportunity that comes along to walk away from it.
This is a very good point. You see, I said, and this is just a reminder, that a treaty supersedes everything. And yet look what you're doing. You're making treaties with United Nations. You're making treaties with Russia. You're making treaties with China. And yet you are breaking the very treaties with your own native aboriginal people.
Yes. And there is one qualification on the Treaty of Supremacy Clause, and that goes along with the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution, and that is that they must be treaties that are made in conformity with the Constitution. Otherwise, we have a situation where the treaty-making power is, as we call it, ultra vires, or beyond the powers. If the treaty-making power is being used to abrogate or assault the constitutional limitations, this is in excess of the authority that was granted by the states to the President and the Senate, giving them powers to enter into treaties. And this is another area where we might want to take a look at the Dan Sisters question, because being based on a treaty, we might be able to find how we in Nevada could help them and help ourselves by having that treaty enforced and getting rid of a lot of the unconstitutional federal control of our public lands.
Absolutely. And that's the way it has to be. People have to, first of all, they have to see what's happening. You cannot fix a problem if you don't realize what the problem is.
Exactly.
And everybody can see you've got a massive, massive international problem. You must, no matter how doom and gloom it sounds, you must confront the problem.
Yes.
And then the solutions will flow. And now to go ahead and be the Chamber of Commerce for the state of Nevada, you are the only state structured where you can do it. You can set the example for the rest of the states. The other states, like California, have fallen to ones like Cranston, who have sold out the people, the business, everything about the nation. These ones have literally corrupted and sold out your nation, sold it away, given it away. But Nevada has hung on to some of these things that other ones say, oh, well, that's Sin City, you know, you go to Nevada. And yet you have managed to hang on to your corporate structure, to shelter your corporations as sovereign citizens of the state of Nevada. And it's hard. It's impossible, really. If you go to battle in the state of Nevada, it is impossible for anyone, including the federal government, to pierce the veil of your corporations. But ones have to remember to do their work and do it right, do it critically time-wise, fill out your paperwork, open your eyes and go to bat and demand that you have the kind of legislature in your state that pulls the kind of power that you're talking about when you get to that federal government. And it is no accident that Bo Brights is a citizen of the state of Nevada.
Great. And we're happy to have him. And we're coming up to our second commercial break. So we'll come back to our call-in lines, 882-5785. That's 882-KPTL after this commercial break.
Hey, Dave. Dave?
Oh, hello, yeah.
Scott Tipps heads up the Constitutional Center in over in Sacramento.
Scott Tipps?
Tipps, you know him. He was working with...
I think so.
Yeah, he works with Rapsimonica's for
right,
a bit.
Scott Tipps. Very good. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, I need to talk to Scott about the problems we're still having with Evans.
Do you have the Constitutional Law Center phone number? He could have it in the break here.
Yes, Dave, do you wish the number?
Yes. That's different from America West?
Yes.
It's 916.
916.
487. Correction.
37. 637?
No. Four. Let's do it again.
Okay.
916. 485.
485.
Yeah. 7902.
7902. Okay. I have 916-485-7902 for the Constitutional Law Center.
Yes, and you would ask for Gene Dixon.
Gene Dixon?
Yes.
As the astrologer, huh?
Actually, yes.
Same name.
Same name, wrong profession.
Okay.
Gene Dixon and Scott Tipps head the Law Center.
7901 also is a good number.
Which one? 07901 or 7902?
Right.
Okay. This is Dave Horton with KPDL Talk Radio, AM 1300 in Carson City, Nevada. The numbers for the Constitutional Law Center in Sacramento are area code 916-485-7902 or 485-7901. You can ask for Scott Tibbs or Gene Dixon. That's the same name as the astrologer column. We'll go to the lines now. Hi, you're on the air.
I'd like to know what has happened to Commander Up.
Okay. The question, did you catch that?
No, I'm sorry. It'll have to be repeated. I didn't.
Okay. The question was, what is Commander Hatton the commander of? And we should explain that we are communicating through an interpreter, Dharma, and therefore we have a female voice that is representing what the commander is saying. Go ahead.
Well, Dharma is only a translator, just repeating what I'm saying. I am commander of the operation, if you will. I represent what you would on your planet call the hosts. Come in preparation for the second coming. I don't understand your language or why you call it that, but the return again of the higher energy forms to your planet. I command the fleet out of Pleiades. We don't have a hierarchical structure as you do. Commander simply is a label given to me by your Earth people because I am in charge of the operation. We don't have those kinds of labels except for identification.
And do you have a particular base that you are operating from?
Well, yes, we operate radio-wise and navigation-wise from a small place in California at this time. There are many, many other places. This one is of particular importance because there is a very large central crystal formation that is utilized for communication system and navigation purposes for this sector within your universal order or cosmic section. It is being more and more activated because of the coming crises upon your place. There comes a point at which you could literally disintegrate your planet, which affects all things in the universal order all the way out to the edges of all universe, which is simply a spiral, so it would literally come back to get you. But our purpose is to prevent that happening. We are not allowed, nor do we wish to intervene or interfere in anything that is going on your planet. You are a free will gifted, free will planet where all entities are sovereign. In other words, if you were just going to destroy your planet and go roll over and die, that would be fine, and we would not touch you. But that's not what you do. You have created technological methods whereby you can literally pulverize the planet, at which point you would have to be encapsulated some way. Well, you have been promised that this will not happen to your species. And those who would come back within the laws of creation would be lifted off. A lot of you are calling this rapture. I would really check that out before I trusted that one too far, because you're basing your rapture on the wrong bits of information. But we're also here to get you off if that becomes a necessity. We remain totally uninvolved except in very rare occasions. But you see, and you would have to go back through the Liberator to find it, because I don't have that information on the tip of my tongue.
Okay.
Where I have outlaid the major underground facilities that your government has built. There is a 40-level installation less than 5 miles from this place where I'm speaking now, created by your government. It is attached to Edwards Air Force Base. They launch craft flying discs out of there. They launch wars against command. And the Russians, you see, do have supremacy in space. They have cosmic platforms and things they call cosmospheres. And there is nothing that you have that can stand up to those at this time, even though your pulse systems are getting very sophisticated.
So those listeners who may want to get more written material on this subject can stop by Nevada Business Services at 675 Fairview, number 207, where Marianne Dickens has many of the Phoenix journals. I think there are about 56 of them or so now, and also back issues of the Phoenix Liberators. Our call-in numbers are 882-5785, that's 882-KPTL, and our guest is Commander Hatton, who has been filling us in on some of the measures that might be used to help protect us from economic moves that are being made at this particular point that we can see some of the signs of. We've noticed that general contraction of the currency, even though interest rates are falling, is causing our economy to continue to slide. Our unemployment rates are much higher than they should be, and being vastly underreported, because the mechanism that we use to report the unemployment omits a lot of the unemployed and completely overlooks the underemployed. So we have an immense amount of productive capability that is being wasted right now merely because we do not have sufficient purchasing power in our economy so that the jobs that need to be done can be done. And businesses right here in Carson City are being adversely affected by constriction of credit. Letters of credit that have been outstanding for 15 years are being drawn in with no economic basis for doing it, except that the bank that has issued them is now in trouble in real estate in Arizona or California. So we need to give some attention to what we can do to insulate our economy from a lot of the convulsions that are being produced by these efforts to constrict currency. And some of this traces back to some of the problems with the Committee of 300. So we'll go to the air. Hi, you're on the air.
I missed the very beginning of your broadcast. I'm wondering, when do you expect the Earth to pass, or the solar system to pass through this belt?
The photon belt?
Right.
Commander, did you catch that?
Yes, he's asked, when is this expected?
Yes.
The last more scientific conclusions coming out of where they have done the most studies in Australia, they have nailed it down right to the 25th of July of this year.
Oh.
Now, I cannot concur or I cannot make a comment about it one way or another. This is a very reasonable, natural happening, and except that it affects a lot of you, I'm not going to make a projection. The minute that I say, well, you can expect that earthquake, you know, on the third week of May, it isn't going to happen that way. But that's what your scientists are saying, that you will move into that belt beginning on the 25th of July.
Thank you very much.
And I can only add this. If you're prepared, you're prepared.
Yes.
No matter. And if it doesn't happen, you're still prepared for the earthquake, for whatever is going to happen.
Right.
So don't stay unprepared.
Dave, this is George.
Go ahead, George.
Tell
up a little bit. Your signal's a little weak.
Okay. What I'm your listeners can go down to Mary Ann's and get the current issue of the Liberator, which goes into great detail on the photon belt.
What is the date on that issue?
I believe it's May 5th.
Okay. The May 5th issue of the Phoenix Liberator will have considerable detail on the photon belt, which the commander has mentioned is predicted by earthly sources to commence about the 25th of July and might provide quite a splash of effect that we need to be aware of. However, if it doesn't happen, and we are prepared for something that doesn't happen, we haven't even lost the preparation, because much of the preparation is what we ought to be doing anyhow. We should have supplies of water on hand. We should have supplies of food on hand, because there are a lot of other things that can happen to us also that aren't good. And it's a lot better to be prepared and not need it than to need it and not be prepared. So we're coming up to the top of the hour in about 5 minutes. And we have time for a couple more calls with Commander Hedlund at 882-5785. That's 882-KPTL. And one of the things I wanted to inquire about, if you have any information on it, I was inspecting before the program this morning. I was looking at my collection on monetary history dealing with the Incas. And one of our monetary historians, Alexander Del Mar, has done a quite detailed study of this, and I don't think he finds much evidence of the use of money in the Incan civilization. Do you happen to have any information on that, Commander?
Only in that the way that has been structured to pull down and into enslavement, your world, came with use of money and currency. So most of your, what you would consider primitive, but more enlightened societies did not utilize it.
Yes, it's been observed that in North America, the absence of a currency prevented division of labor from providing anything more complicated than some of the leagues of North American tribes in the North American continent, where the population was largely fanatic or nomadic. And this means that what we consider to be more advanced, that is to say more specialized, forms of social exchange did not develop. But I was thinking that possibly there was a hierarchical type structure in the Incan civilization that was supported a division of labor even without the use of a money.
Well, yes, and always through the generations and centuries of time, you would have things like tally sticks, markers, various and sundry things that represent services.
Right, and this is a form of local currency, and we have a lot of examples of that, although they're not very well understood. We have many examples of that in the United States, where local currencies have been used responsibly, where the entity issuing the currency had the goods to redeem them, and as long as it was in a suitable form to carry around in your pocket, it started then serving as a local currency, which is another one of the things that we're looking at with regard to the Nevada silver coin bill. It has been suggested that we might also want to go to a $1 token made out of base metal, that would be used in our Nevada casinos, which would be a source of non-tax government revenue and also would pass as a local currency, even though it might not have to be made a legal tender. So we've got a couple more minutes with our guest, Commander Hafan, and we've been discussing the measures to be taken so far as a possible passage through the photon belt that may be coming, let's say, on the 25th of July or at some other time, and the possession of shielding mechanism for the eyes in the form of the darkest arc welding equipment would be very helpful, and also to stay indoors and to block out intense levels of light that may be associated with this would be another precaution that we could use, which is similar to the techniques that we would be employing in protecting ourselves against some biological hazards, such as anthrax spores that could be disseminated through our atmosphere and are highly deadly. So we're coming up to the top of the hour. We've got about 30 seconds, and I want to express appreciation to Commander Hatton for taking the time to share some thoughts with us. And it's my hope that, particularly after George gets settled here in Carson City, that we may be able to carry these things further. And for those who want to get more information in written form, they can call 1-800-729-4131. And the material that you may not be able to find with Marianne Dickens will be available through the mail. But if you go down to Marianne's and she has it, you've got it right there. So our guest next week will be a missionary who has been in service in South Africa, and we will be bringing up some of the undisclosed and almost secreted measures that have been kept from the American public with regard to that area of the world. And okay, I was misreading the clock. We came up to the top of the hour. My clock here is 1 minute off, and I didn't know whether it was 1 minute or something other than that. But we got into the ABC News okay. So thanks very much for taking your time, and thanks also to you, George, and to Dharma. And well, I hope we can get some information disseminated here that'll be helpful, and maybe we can get some moves going that will give some encouragement to other states. If we can unscramble a situation here in Nevada, we may be able to solve a lot of people's problems.
Well, I would compliment you. I would also say, Dave, that Nevada is destined to be the state that can do it. You have maintained your sovereignty better than any other state in the United States.
Well, thank you, Andrew. I was joking with one of our legislative guests a couple of weeks ago about Nevada being the center of the universe, and paraphrasing the ancient Latin phrase, all roads lead not to Rome but to Carson City.
Something like that.
It may be more than just a joke. It may be an actuality. If we can protect the Constitution and get it coming back, it may be that we have stumbled onto something that is highly useful here, and something that will be very important and valuable to us in the future.
Well, you have to look at the small part. Sometimes you have to know the whole, but you have to start where you can. And that's
right.
Very small with that first step.
The Confucian adage that says you have to work where you are. And also a quotation, I think, that comes out of the Bible that says the eyes of the fool are in the ends of the earth. If we don't work where we are, we can't really be too effectual. But if we work where we are, it seems like a lot of the tactical advantages turn in our favor, and that's another reason why I'm glad to see Bill Greitz here in Nevada, because I think he understands some of these principles, and if by some fluke he should happen to be our president, Nevada would be able to be of great assistance to him or anyone else in that position to do what a president alone, even if he wanted to, would be hard-pressed to do, without help from a state legislative support. So thanks again for giving your time, and I hope that George will share my numbers. If there's occasion to get in touch, why, I'm reachable most of the time through 883-1966 or 883-6348. So, George, it's been fun.
Thank you, buddy.
Well, you're doing a real service to your fellow man. It's the only way that you're going to salvage this country. And if this country goes, so goes the world.
Exactly. And if they get it from us, they're going to have to pry it from our grasp, kicking and screaming.
I want to make one last comment, and I'm going to to get out of here, out of your hair. But you are having someone from South Africa.
Yes.
South Africa is the most important country on your globe to watch at this time, because South Africa has gone the way that America will go. It is lost. And the point is that the 300, the world globalists, plan to manipulate South Africa, get rid of the black population, because you see, before...